Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway. Wednesday, August 6th, 2:16 p.m. when we're recording this. In the middle of, random day games on. Those prudes in Boston don't, play getaway day games. The Royals don't play again until tonight. So I've got a no-hit bid going for the Guardians on. Do I really care? No, but it's one of those things that still drives me to a TV when it's going on. What we do care about, Drew, is talking about the Cats. And first, we have to mention that we are now 17 days away from the Aer Lingus College Football Classic, exactly 2 weeks out from when we are hitting the skies, flying over water, which you've already talked about irrationally. I have worse feelings flying over water than land, which, you're probably not surviving either way if the plane goes down, but you probably have a better chance over water, I guess. Although we'll probably be flying over like Titanic type of water, so you won't last long in that. So just hope the plane doesn't go down if you're headed over to Ireland. If it does, see you in the next life.
2 weeks from today, I'll probably be in the Kansas City airport trying to find something to do.
Yeah, you'll probably be waiting on us. Drew just ahead of schedule over there.
I mean, I land at like 1:30. So I will definitely be there before you guys get there, unless you guys are showing up 5 hours before, which you're more than welcome to.
I will not be. I would not be able to talk myself into that. And I mean, I do like airports, but I don't like them that much, especially when I have a bunch of crap that I have to carry with me. But you can go to cats2ireland.com to get all your last minute Ireland arrangements made, so you can be there on August 23rd for the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic. And more than anything now, that website's probably more of a helper if you're already going to be over there. You throw your hands in your ear and you just say, what am I going to do? A little fun topic off of it, Drew. We've been discussing who we think is going to call the game. Scott Wildcat made a great point that Joe Tessitore is already going to be over there, so that's great. My day's ruined thinking that Joe Tess is going to have to call a K-State game. Good thing I'll be there and I don't have to watch on TV. I apologize for all of you sitting on your couch that have to watch it and your ears will be bleeding and you'll just, you'll want to not do great things after you have to listen to that for 3 hours. So Jesse not a Joe Palmer, Tess guy.
Though. Jesse Palmer, though.
Yeah, I am a big Jesse Palmer guy, whether it's his college football stuff, his work on The Bachelor, or his work on the Holiday Baking Championship that my wife watches a bunch of. Oh, by the way, that no-hit bit is over. The Mets just donged one. Oh, so
yeah. Well, you mentioned, those three things to Jesse Palmer, but didn't mention his work on college football video game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's fine there. That would be grouped in with his college football work and everything. But yeah, I'm a big Jesse Palmer guy, so I'll at least, have that going for everybody. Let's move on to actual K-State related topics today. We kind of wanted to clean up a few things that are floating around from fall camp. K-State's in the swing of that right now. Maybe the most notable yesterday that I think, first time in a long time that it feels like there is a legit position battle where you don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's at kicker, but I do think it's starting to come into focus. And I wrote in something that's going to be coming out sometime this week. My opinion would be, and I'm starting to feel stronger and stronger about it, that Luis Rodriguez is going to take the first kick, field goal or PAT, over in Ireland in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's the quote when you saw it without the context of video of just saying that Luis has been the most available one sounds odd. But then, you really dive into the press conference, and then it just makes a little bit more sense. Also, we kind of pointed this out before, that if it was going to be Cub Patton instead of Leighton Simmering, it probably would have been easy to just give the job to Leighton Simmering after Cub Patton got hurt. But the fact that they added Luis Rodriguez kind of made it seem like they wanted him to take the job. So again, he's been the most available one, but it also kind of sounds like he's been the best one when he's been able to kick. I would still venture to say, I'm not sure if we see a field goal attempted in Ireland. I wouldn't be shocked.
The circumstances would have to be right. I think you'd have to have right before the end of the first half or something.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not scoring from 35 yards out. Like, why not kick it, or, you know, a chip shot or something, take the point, something along those lines.
A game that I think is good to get like some practice of a real life kick is the North Dakota game. Like, if there's a drive that like stalls out, well, like third quarter or so, I mean, it's up 20.
If you really want to test yourselves, just say you're only going to kick field goals in the North Dakota game and really, you know, test the defense early, you know, make them work for it.
But like, I'd still be, the circumstances, like you said, would have to be like perfect for a field goal to be attempted in Ireland, I think. But I think that you're going to see Luis Rodriguez take the first extra point. And I think you're probably going to see him take all of the extra points. I still don't know if he's going
to
do
kickoff. Well, I mean, because here's a question. Do you think that they take both kickers to Ireland? Or I guess we don't even, we've discussed if we don't know if they can take the whole team for something like this or not.
I would imagine the whole team can go, at least for K-State, because it's a home game. Iowa State, I would imagine they get like a special exemption for taking their entire roster. But they're going to take both. I think that if Rodriguez goes in, bangs in an extra point, you're probably going to see him take the rest of the kicks the rest of the day. Yeah. But like I said, kickoffs, I think, is still going to be Simon McLennan. So you're probably only going to see him, hopefully, just kicking extra points all day in Ireland.
Yeah, I hope his foot touches the ball six times on the field in Ireland. And that'd be a good sign for K-State.
And only extra points.
That's what I'm saying. I think I am with you. I think we've already talked about it some, but I think this might be the lowest field goal attempt season of the Klieman era. They don't seem to think that they have the options to do much else. And you would even look at like 2021, where there is a little bit of a battle there. Tate and Winkle won the job out of the jump, kicked the first few weeks, and then he ended up leaving the team. Chris Tennant took over, and that's a different situation, though, because even though Tennant was unproven and obviously there was some shakiness there, they thought that they had a pretty elite kicking talent in Chris Tennant. So, like, you're okay handing it off there. Right now, I think they're a little worried about the situation. So I think you're going to see a lot of, at least for the first half of the season, if it's fourth and five or shorter and K-State's inside of like the 40-yard line, they're probably going for it. You can maybe even extend out a little more than that, depending on how much they feel like they're ready to trust this defense.
I'll raise you one and say that if they're inside the 40-yard line and it's fourth and 10 or shorter, K-State will go for it.
Oof, boy. I mean, some people will like the aggressiveness when it works, but that's also just going to be one of those where you're definitely asking to have a few games where you go, man, if we could have just kicked a couple field goals, things might go differently.
Yeah, but like if you're at the 40-yard line, even with Chris Tennant and it's fourth and 10, I would rather go for it. Or like even...
Yeah, I mean, that's a long one. That's 57 yards.
That's a 57-yarder, and I am of the opinion that if you are on the opposing side of the field and it's like the 45 and shorter, you shouldn't punt. So I would rather go for it on fourth and 10 from the 40 than kick a field goal or punt.
Yeah. A couple of other things that obviously this was spurred by Nate Katzer talked yesterday about special teams to the media. He also was asked about Dylan Edwards and what his availability in the return game is going to be. I think he's clearly K-State's best known talent at that right now. There could be a few guys that pop up and do something different. At what frequency do you expect to see Dylan Edwards returning a kick or a punt this season for K-State?
I think that Chiefs fans will enjoy the analogy that I'm going to kind of draw here. It will be kind of like when Tyreek Hill was used as a returner. Like, if you really think that you can either A, pop one, or B, like the offense just needs a jolt, I think that's when you'll see him. Because from how explosive Davon Rice has been throughout fall camp, from what everybody really has said, that would be who I would make the primary returner, because he's probably your fourth.
I think he's for sure a lock to be back there on almost every kick. And it's just a matter of, you know, if you put a second guy back there, the situations you're talking about. Like, here's a scenario. Coin toss, K-State loses, Iowa State defers in Ireland. Are you sending Dylan Edwards back there for the very first kick of the season? Because I would try to start it off with a bang.
Yeah, I think that I would. I would have Edwards and Rice back there and just see what happens. But like there are times where I think they're going to need to be able to pick and choose when you're going to have Edwards back there, when you're going to have Rice back there. For kickoffs, even when you're going to have Bryce Norberg back there because he's already done it in a game. So I think that you're going to see a little bit of mix and match and picking spots on when Dylan Edwards is used, because he is too important to have, like, even getting dinged up and it not be like a super serious injury, but something that just kind of lingers to have happen on a kick or punt return.
Yeah. No, I get the logic on restricting it, but also, you know, you don't want to waste a talent like that. And you would hope that occasionally you can get something that happens like Arizona, and you need the jolts every once in a while. But Cats were talked about yesterday, you know, they did some different things throughout the year. And, you know, Davon Rice had a decent return against Colorado that kind of helped them at one point. So they're capable of it. And Bryce Norberg, I'd be interested in a bigger sample size to see what that looks like too. So there yeah. are options there. And obviously it's not like K-State special teams has been great returning the football recently. So not putting Dylan Edwards back there is not going to change your production in a bad way. It's just those moments where you think maybe you could have something bigger happen. You're maybe being held out a little bit more from that.
You're hoping that the return game doesn't even have to get to like the peak of when K-State was at its powers, but you're hoping that it's like just average.
Yeah. Can you at least take two back for a touchdown this year, and maybe once every four games, like have one pop you to like the 40 or 45 yard line?
Cause like
that's a low bar, I think.
Like what DY wrote about like keys to the season, like one of those that he wrote about on KSO was about just like winning in the margins. How do you win in the margins? You are better on special teams than they were last year. Because last year, special teams was a disaster. And it wasn't just the inability to get long snaps back there. There were times where K-State would have a bad punt. There were times where they'd have bad kick coverage. There were times where they would call a fair catch and it would be too deep and their offense is starting in their own territory. There was times where they would try and get a kick return and only go to the 15-yard line. There were just like little things last year that really got highlighted in the BYU game, especially, and even to the Houston game to some extent, that K-State was just getting murdered in field position every game because they couldn't get either a good punt or B, a good return. And like you have to be able to do something and just take that from, I think the special teams is still like ended in like the 90s in SP plus last year. If they can get that to like 55 or 60, that could be the difference of winning a game down the line.
Yeah. We'll be watching special teams all year because it's obviously important at K-State and it has not been very good recently. And I think honestly, even more concerning to me than the return game kind of falling short of expectations is it feels like you're more consistently getting beat in the margins by what other teams are able to accomplish on special teams, is that they are occasionally having some plays that pop on that side of the football. All right. Next step that I want to kind of get to in all this is that this should be encouraging news for a lot of K-State fans out there. And yeah, it could be lip service. This is the time of year and in every sport, like preseason, start of the year.
Everybody's always this time of the year.
Yeah, everybody is the best they've ever been, all this other stuff. But I'm not even focusing on the physical traits here. But we have now heard within the last week praise for both Avery Johnson and Austin Romaine, your most talented offensive and defensive players, respectively. Both have been given credit now, who are stepping up from being true sophomores to being true juniors, where, yeah, they've gotten better with the physical side of the game, but they've also elevated themselves as leaders and more so making their voice heard and just identifying things better. And that should be a really encouraging thing to K-State fans. And that's where, if you're looking like how much of a difference can there be between, you know, first year as a starting quarterback to year number two as a starting quarterback, well, that's a pretty good spot to look at to see where things could change and get better. And I think it is such an important thing. and Avery Johnson getting it on the offensive side. Now, you know, Austin Romaine getting on the defensive side, because with the conversation yesterday, Steve Stannard talked to the media as well. What it seemed like you get out of that is now it goes from, yeah, you're putting this really talented dude on the field, but his knowledge and identification of what he's seeing and how to communicate it to the rest of the team is also evolving and getting even stronger. And if you, I mean, you know, you can blend it with the physical side, the mental side, you're going to get an even better Austin Romaine this season. He is not overrated, Mr. Andre Napier.
Yeah, I'm not uber surprised by either of those guys taking a huge jump mentally. A lot of that is just, you're getting a lot more game reps. There's nothing kind of like what a game rep at game speed is, because you can practice all you want, but like you got to show it in a game. And having those two play a lot of football over the last 2 years, especially Austin Romaine. But Romaine was somebody that we probably should have known more that he was going to take a huge leap after what he did as a true freshman, because he was put in kind of an unfair spot to him because he wasn't really ready to see the field yet. But he had to start at the Mike linebacker towards the end of the season and played a lot. So it's not super surprising. And then just like it's not super surprising, but again, encouraging that you're hearing that these guys are taking a big step as leaders, because that's just part of it, is, you know, Romaine and Avery, to a certain extent, were still young players that hadn't really done a lot in games going into last year. It's hard for those guys to want to be that voice. Because, you know, you're just so inexperienced and you're on a team that had a lot of experience that at certain positions last year. So I think that because of that, like Austin Romaine had Austin Moore in his room. Austin Moore had played 6 years up until that point. This year, like Austin Romaine is kind of like that old guy with Desmond Purnell at linebacker. And Avery is the voice and the big leader at quarterback. And like I think that both of those guys probably led well in their own rooms, but to hear that they are taking over as a team leader, I think is the most important factor, because, you know, you want your two best players to also be the guys that can rally everybody on their side of the ball around.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're getting here. I think it's overlooked sometimes what can happen with, you know, that experience and the bump that can come from it. And I mean, it's getting to the point where it's driving me insane how I think Avery Johnson's underrated at this point, based off of people nationally, regionally, even some locally. It's like, you know, you put him on this pedestal last year and now you're wanting to jump off at the first sign of trouble. And then you look harder at it and you're like, oh, well, it really wasn't trouble. It was just, he wasn't the best player in college football last year, like some people had set the expectations as. I mean, people from reputable outlets having him as like a Heisman candidate last year. Like, I thought Avery Johnson was going to be good last season. And yeah, there were elements last year where I went, oof, would have liked that to be a little bit better. Not as encouraging as what I wanted to see, but I didn't think he was going to be a Heisman Trophy finalist last season. Like, you got to give these guys some time to grow. And look, there's the occasional quarterback that doesn't get better from year one to year two, Rocco Becht. But most of them, with the talent that Avery Johnson has, the mental thing is going to come last. That's why in all these things, you know, guys get better with their age. It's not because they didn't have the physical traits beforehand. Well, that's important and you can add to it and you can make it a little bit better. That's fine. But more than anything, it's just you learn how to operate in this space and how to be better with it. Like, I have no doubt that I am better as a KSO employee getting ready to enter year three with you guys than I was year one in like that first football season. It's just because I have experience. I know how to work with you in DY better now. I know how to operate everything with what I need to do. Like, everybody has this where, yeah, everything that you can actually accomplish is still the same, but now you kind of know how to unlock it better.
There's one fan base in particular that has been very loud about how they don't think that Avery is very good. And I'm very excited for August 23rd because I think that by 2:30 they could really be quiet.
They'll be ruining the day. All right, let's finish out with a little Beat the Media guide. Short show, quick show for everybody today, at least for the meat and potatoes of it. It very well could turn into something longer, as you know, with this. Pick which side of the ball you want to talk about first here today, Drew.
We'll start with offense. I need to redeem my performance over the last few days.
Yeah, all right, offense.
Sorry that I didn't know Ernie Pierce yesterday, guys.
Yeah, that's on you. Okay, let's see. Oh, this is going to be a good one. It might be a little bit of a tough one, but it'll be a good one. So, Drew, we're going to start here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me get the music ready. I neglect that too many times. Can't have it. I promise it's going to hopefully start at a good volume level.
Nice.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I lost you again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
That's a KSO classic right there. Probably some Alltel commercials that we'll pick up at points. That was Alltel, right? That was the can you hear me now guy?
I think so.
Anyways, first question up today on Beat the Media Guide. Name me the top five in touchdown receptions by a running back in K-State history. Running back or fullback, I guess they make note that they're grouped in here together, but top right. Five in touchdown catches by a running back or fullback.
So the first one, we're going to go Deuce.
That's Vaughn. A great guess. 9 for Deuce Vaughn, which is also kind of funny because by 2022, he really wasn't as heavily involved in the passing game anymore. Relative to what it was early on. I mean, those first 2 years, they were using him left and right to catch the ball. But you look at that last year, it was his lowest yardage output. He did catch 3 touchdowns that season. I guess I'm trying to think which games those would have been in. 42 catches. But, you know, the year before that was insane. And then he had big receptions in 2020.
Do I guess know where that is on this list?
That is number one.
Okay, so if 9 is number 1, is DJ Giddens on here as well?
DJ Giddens is not on here.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll mark down an X there for you.
That, good to know where like the floor is because I just didn't know if 4 was going to be on here or not because, you know, 9 is the leader.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that gives you a decent idea here of where to go. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the names on here, you've got absolutely no chance of getting. The other two, or the other three that are still available, I know that you've heard their names before. One I would say you should definitely know. Another you should probably know, but you may not think of. And then the other has come up in passing during this summer.
Is the one that came up in passing this summer, is that Mac Heron?
That is Mac Heron. Great guess. He had 5. He is tied for 2nd.
Okay, so that was straight up just because I looked up his stats when everybody was talking about like running back Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
And he was good at catching the ball as a running back.
That was like his one claim to fame because like I'm looking at this now, he had more receiving yards actually than rushing yards. That's kind of crazy.
All right, you got 2 guesses left here.
So you said one that I should know and one that I like have probably heard of but don't know.
So these are 2 guys that you absolutely know who they are. It's just you may not think of one of them in this category. The other, yeah, you should get the other one. It might take a little bit of thinking, but you should get him.
Okay. Only
one guy left played for Bill Snyder.
Oh, okay. One that I like thought of, but not like in this way would be a Daniel Thomas type, but like I don't know if he had one. But like that just feels more along the lines of like what you're saying.
Well, I'm not gonna give you any help here when you're throwing guesses like that around.
But I don't think that that's correct. But we'll still go with it.
I don't know. You shouldn't have. It is not Daniel Thomas. Did he ever catch one in his career?
No, he did not.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't remember him being involved in the passing game too much.
When you say that, I wouldn't think of him in like this way. Like that's kind of like along the lines of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're down to one guest left.
One of these guys had a very personal relationship with a future employee of K-State Athletics that was the head coach of a program at K-State.
That actually doesn't help me at all.
You would not associate this person with K-State. There's another Power 5 institution that you would associate this person with.
That still is not helpful at all.
The other Power 5 institution has something named after him that's very upfront.
Another one that I've heard of in passing of like guys that I should think of for this would be like JJ Smith. But I don't know if that's right, because I think that he is like also in that like line of guys that has like four. But we're gonna go with it.
That's incorrect. The correct answer is that you are missing on this list. Again, this is the name you weren't going to get. Corky Taylor from 1951 to 1954 caught 5 of them.
Sure.
If I had said that this person had a brother that played football that was more famous than him.
Oh, is this Glenn Gronkowski?
Glenn Gronkowski is tied for 2nd with 5.
Wow.
And if I had said that the coach with a personal connection that this guy had was Bruce Weber, would you know?
No.
That it's Gene Cady tied with 5?
Wow. Okay. Well, that was tough.
Well, when I stumbled upon it, I was like, this is actually kind of a fun list because they're, you know, you'll know Deuce, you know who Glenn Gronkowski is. We've talked about Mac Heron. And then I was like, oh, Gene Cady, we have to do that one. So only 2 points. I think that might be the best one we've done yet. I think it is. And I think that I think it was good because then there were probably some people that were sitting there and they got Glenn and Gene. So
when you said fullbacks, like the one I was like thinking Winston Dimmel, but like I didn't think that he had enough. The fact that Glenn Gronkowski, it felt like he was rarely used but still caught 5 touchdowns, that's crazy.
Well, that's because, you know, he was the better fullback, but his dad wasn't the offensive coordinator. So, you know, is what it is.
DJ being on, not being on here, the most surprising one that is not.
Well, it's because everybody was tied for 2nd with 5 outside of Deuce that was on this list.
Oh, that's crazy.
So that's why, you know, DJ kind of was right there, but not. Okay, let's see here. Do you want a top 5 or a top 10? Let's do a top 10.
We'll do a tenner.
Yeah, this will be a fun one. Let me get my little circles.
Every time you say that, it's not actually fun. It's actually very hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, if you ever want to bust out the media guide one of these days and get after me, you can do it. I've got it ready for you. So dim the lights. Here we go. All right. This question, Drew, give me the top 10 in career all purpose yards at K-State.
Okay, well, easy ones to start. We'll go Deuce.
He is number 3 all time.
Darren Sproles.
He is number 1 all time.
I looked this up, actually, during the Unsung Heroes for the climate era, Malik Knowles is on here.
Malik Knowles is fifth, which stunned me.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's why I picked this one. I was like, holy cow, who would have thought?
Yeah, low-key, in like 10 years in Malik Knowles, everybody's going to look back and think he was a lot better because he's so high in some of these categories.
Yeah, and he had a good game, 2019 OU, that we'll talk about on Friday. All right.
Tyler Lockett.
Yep, he's number two. He came within about 230 yards of getting to Darren Sproles' mark.
That's also crazy because everybody talks about how that Darren Sproles record is like untouchable.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have said it's all purpose, correct? Not just scrimmage.
Yep, all purpose.
So is Kevin Lockett on this list?
That's the first red X you get. If we were on Cash Cab, you can hear the sound now with the X coming up. So no, Kevin Lockett is not on this list. He is 17th all time.
Okay, that does give me like a good mark of where people are. Wow, I just looked and saw that Darren Sproles had 6,200.
That it's probably scrimmage. His all purpose is 6,812.
Yeah, that is absurd.
Yeah. Lockett was 6,586. And then he's 1,500 yards clear of Deuce, who 5,029 without really ever returning kicks in his career. He did it occasionally early on, but not very often.
I can't even remember a Deuce return of any kind, to be honest with you.
He's back there a few times, but it was not a lot. Definitely a 2020 thing, I think.
This
five guesses
is
left. 4 points.
It gets a little difficult. Again, because it's all purpose, is Jordy on here?
No, that's another X. Jordy Nelson, 16th all time.
That also kind of felt like a good guess.
Yeah.
You would have thought because he had a lot of receiving yards, popped some returns.
Yeah, and you know, you'll be surprised here that the top 10 is made up of a good mix of running back and receiver. I think it's actually 5-5, the split.
Okay.
Might be 4-6, but you know.
Oh, okay. What is like, okay, actually, that's probably too much of a hint. Because I was going to ask, like, what is the baseline?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that.
Because I just thought of one, but like, I don't know if he got there on return yards or not. But I'm still going to go for it. I'm going to say Phillip Brooks.
Phillip Brooks did get there, seventh all time.
Okay. That was one where I was like, I really didn't know because, you know, a lot of his return yardage, as we have talked about, it's a little inflated.
I do want to have a conversation about that on Friday in KSO Classic.
That 2019 OU game was also part of the reason that like I thought about saying him.
Three guesses left. 5 points on the board.
We're doing better on this one. Is this one where J.J. Smith is on?
Nope. He is about 600 yards shy of being on this one. He is 13th all time. Another X for you. Still a good mix of players with different coaches on here. It's not all Snyder players that are left.
Okay. Not all Snyder players that are left, but like I did just think of a Snyder player that I'm gonna like kick myself if I don't throw out a guess
because well, let it fly.
because I know that he's very high on the scrimmage yards. John Hubert.
John Hubert, ninth all time.
Okay.
It helps when you're the starting running back for three seasons, to be honest. It does.
Another absurd one, because like I don't remember him ever returning a kick.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Okay.
One guess left.
One guess left. I have another one that like I want to say.
Well, you better listen to your heart then.
But I don't know where he ends up because of like return yardage and other stuff. What about Daniel Thomas?
Number 11 all time, just missed out by 140 yards. So you end with 6 points this round. The guys that you were missing, some that you'll definitely kick yourself on. You guessed two Locketts. One was right, one was wrong. There was another on the list. Aaron Lockett is fourth all time. That's where return yards would come into play. Brandon Banks, sixth all time in just two seasons.
That two seasons scared me off a lot more for Brandon Banks than Daniel Thomas.
DJ Giddens, eighth all time.
Yeah, no, that one hurts. I should have.
And I'm not going to say that you should have gotten it, but I'm a little surprised. Maybe you considered it. 10th all time is Andre Coleman.
Oh yeah, I never considered Andre Coleman.
Okay. All right. If you want for reference, the rest of this list, most of these guys are receivers or running backs, but there are two quarterbacks that make the list, L. Roberson and Colin Klein, of guys that hit at least 2,000 all-purpose yards in their career. 34 players did it in total at K-State. Charles Jones did it, believe it or not. He's on there at 33rd. Higher than Josh Scobie, by the way. So for all of the Scobie stands out there, you know, I don't want you coming at me when I leave him off of Mount Rushmore or something. Fine player. I get he defined your era, but, you know, was what he was.
This was one where I probably could have gotten the top 10, but like I'm not like pissed at myself for the guesses that I made.
No, you shouldn't be. You did fine. All right, let's do one more. I'll find a good one here for you. We've liked doing scoring records, you know?
We are the podcast that likes scoring. So
we do like points here. That's true. Let me find a good category for you here. I assume you don't want any more special teams related ones.
I mean, I do appreciate a good special teams throw out every once in a while.
Well, let's see what we have that I can maybe toss your way. Well, we already did the longest passes. Do you want to do longest runs in K-State history?
Oh boy. Yeah, why not?
I don't want to do that to you. Well, actually, maybe I do. There's some interesting names on here, which we've already talked about. One of these came up for some reason. I can't remember why, though, because I don't think we've done this list. But I'm trying to think in what context it came up. Maybe it was, I don't know. Either way, let's talk about the 15 longest runs in K-State history. Here's what I'm going to do for you. You get 15 guesses, okay, but you can kind of shotgun them. I'm not going to penalize you for, you know, all the wrong ones, essentially. We don't want to be here all day.
Are there any duplicates?
There are some duplicates on here. Let's see. At least one guy doubles up. So what I'm basically telling you here is guess away. I'll just tell you when I'm done. I'm sick and tired of you getting things wrong. So maybe, you know, once you hit like 5 incorrect guesses, I'll shut you down, no matter if you've guessed the first 5 incorrectly or whatever. So, all right, let's start. 15 longest runs in K-State football history.
One of them is probably Deuce.
Yeah, Deuce is on here a couple of times. Let me
make sure I know. His Sugar Bowl run is the longest in Sugar Bowl history, is the only reason that I knew to guess this.
Yep, that is 6th all-time at K-State, 88 yards against Alabama. You also might remember that he started the second half at KU in 2021 with an 80-yard touchdown. So he is on here twice.
So he's on here twice. So there's 14 spots left.
Yes, 13 spots remain.
I mean, you'd have to assume that Darren Sproles has done this at least once.
He did do it at least once and only once. 80 yards at Colorado in 2002.
Okay. Next up. Okay, are all of these result in a touchdown, correct?
No.
Will Howard.
Will Howard, 80 yards at TCU in 2020. Yes. Not a touchdown.
That's the one that we've talked about.
Trying to remember why we talked about it.
Like, I genuinely cannot remember why we talked about it. But we did at least once this offseason.
Yeah, we did. I don't know. Seriously, why did that come up?
Somebody go back and find where we talked about
that. I mean, it was when we were doing this, because I remember us talking about, like, I don't know. I'm confused on why it came up, because we didn't do this list. I know that based off some of the names that I see on here. So
yeah, we definitely did not do this list, but we did talk about it at some point.
Yeah. Let me see here if I can find anything that jogs the memory on why it came up at any other.
Actually,
I don't know. No idea why it was a thing that we discussed.
I'm going to say I remember John Huber breaking off a long one at Texas Tech that might be on here.
Hang on, let me get back to the page that I need to be on. Yes, John Hubert is on this list. That play that you're making up in your brain did not happen. He's on here because he has the second longest run in K-State football history. He took it 95 yards for a touchdown in the home opener against Missouri State in 2012.
Oh, I remember that play too. But yeah. The play that I'm talking about definitely happened.
So you have, let's see, that would, well, you already guessed. I guess I need to give you credit for, yeah, you're good. You've got 5 of the answers on this list so far.
I'm trying to think back. I think during the 02 Holiday Bowl broadcast, they talked about how L had like a 90-ish yard run or maybe an 80-yard run. So I'm going to say L.
That's a great recall. November 16th, 2002, L. Roberson, 91 yards for a touchdown against Nebraska.
Okay, I'm glad that I'm not going crazy, because now I'm like really thinking about if I made up that Texas Tech play. Another one, like a sneaky one that I'm thinking about, is another quarterback. Did Michael Bishop pull off a long one?
He did not. Michael Bishop did not pull off a long one. So, first wrong guess by Drew. You have 4 guesses remaining if they were to be wrong. But there are still, let's see, 9 slots left on here for you to try and get.
Okay. Now we got to go back and think a little. That Will Howard one still cracks me up, and I still am trying to rack my brain about why we talked about it.
Yeah, I don't know why we did either. Maybe we did longest runs by a quarterback.
We might have done longest runs by a quarterback.
That could have been what it was. Yeah, here, let me see. I've got longest I'm looking here. I think that that had to have been what it was, is that we did something like longest runs by a quarterback, or I don't know.
I'm going to say Alex Barnes probably had one on here.
It's a great guess. Alex Barnes just cracks the top 15. He's tied for 13th, 75 yards in 2017 against Oklahoma.
Oh, well, thanks for rattling that loose, because that means that Malik Knowles for the South Dakota game is also on here.
Yeah, and you might be forgetting that Malik Knowles has another 75-yard touchdown run in 2020 against Baylor. So two for Malik Knowles, surprisingly.
This is where it gets a little bit hazy and gross, I think.
You're still missing number one all time, number three all time, number five, number seven, number 10. Number 12.
Charles Jones is kind of a big play merchant. Not
that's,
on here.
That's wrong. No, no Chuck Jones.
That's a killer. I thought that could be a possibility.
Well, you know, Mr. All Purpose.
What about another guy, another quarterback that I just thought of? What about Jesse Ertz?
Nope. Not Jesse Ertz.
Have I heard of any of these guys that are left?
Yes, one of them, you absolutely know who he is. Let's see. Another one I think you've definitely heard of, that some of the young olds, so those that are like probably like 45 right now, would talk about.
The young olds.
Yeah, the people that don't want to accept that they're becoming old, you know? Like when I get to that age, it's like, no, I still... But even now I have things where I go, boy, I was clueless at this MLB trade deadline this year, and that's not a good sign for me.
Okay, I was kicking myself a little bit for not picking Brandon Banks last time for the all-purpose yards, because I remember him getting handoffs and jet sweeps and stuff. Was he also, did he have a long run?
That's a great guess. 93 yards for a touchdown at Missouri in 2008. That's third all time.
Is that the one that I should definitely know?
That's the one you should definitely know.
Okay.
One more on this list that I think you've heard of and you should know, and then the others, I just doubt it.
Okay, another like explosive runner. I'm trying to think of who you think is like the young olds answer.
Well, you got to think about what time frame that would put people in. You were alive when this guy played, but I bet you don't specifically remember anything about him. I'll tell you this much though, I know about this game because it was always the first one of every season on a certain NCAA video game that I played a lot of growing up. So I know that this game happened. I don't have any idea on it other than the virtual play that I made.
As one kind of like the young old type answer, was it a running back?
It was a running back.
Is it Leon Patton?
Nope, that's wrong. You got one wrong guess left available that you're working with here.
And then another one that I thought of from like just general talk when we did the running back Mount Rushmore was Mike Lawrence.
Nope, that's wrong. That is going to stop your clock. Your game is over there. So let's see. That ends up being 5, 9, 11 correct on this list. Number one all time back in 1948, Gerald Hackney, 96 yards against KU.
Sure.
Number five all time, Tony Jordan, 89 yards for a touchdown in 1986 at Iowa State. Number seven all time, Mac Green, 85 yards in 1977 at Oklahoma State. the one number 12 all time, LJ Brown at Air Force in 1979, 79 yards for a score. And the one that I thought you might have a chance of knowing, you've definitely heard the name, 2005 home opener against Florida International, Thomas Clayton, 80 yards.
Yeah, I remember Thomas Clayton, but never would have got that. That's where like the ones that we've done, like longest run, longest throw, longest rush by a quarterback, so tough because like all it takes is one play and
somebody's on here. I really would, seriously, why did we talk about the Will Howard one at one point? What else is there on here?
We had to have done longest run by a quarterback.
Yeah, except I'm not seeing that on here. So like I don't know. I don't know why it would have come up, Drew. I'm baffled.
Somebody wants something, go back and listen to the last like 3 weeks of shows. Figure out why we talked about the Will Howard run.
Yeah, because it. I don't know.
This is where like Scott Wildcat talks about like how he jokes that he needs an intern. This is a perfect intern job.
Yeah, just write down everything we ever say. Golly, it's gonna kill me because I know that it came up for some reason that we noted that, hey, this has happened X amount of times. The only one that wasn't a touchdown was Will Howard. But anyways, we're not going to figure it out here. Might as well just close up shop. That'll do it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow with something that we actually recorded yesterday, and then I deleted it off of my computer. And then I sat around going, I'm such an idiot, but then remembered it was saved online. So you're going to hear us talk basketball tomorrow, and then we are back on Friday talking about K-State, Oklahoma 2019 for another edition of KSO Classic. I'm Mason Voth. That's Drew Galloway. Thanks for watching and listening. We are out of here.